All right, let's turn to Psalm 110 and let's read together a Psalm of David. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments from the womb of the morning. The dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. This is the word of the living God. We turn to the Heidelberg Catechism and its explanation of the Apostles' Creed to the words in Lord's Day 19, which discuss the phrase, sitteth at the right hand of God. The question is, why is it added, and sitteth at the right hand of God? The answer, because Christ is ascended into heaven for this end, that he might there appear as head of the church by whom the Father governs all things. Then question 51, what profit is this glory of Christ, our head, unto us? The answer, first that by his Holy Spirit he poureth out heavenly graces upon his members, and then that by his power he defends and preserves us against all enemies. Beloved in the Lord, as we look at the Heidelberg Catechism and its understanding of the Apostles' Creed, we come to that passage in the Apostles' Creed where it says Christ has ascended to the right hand of God. This is something that appears throughout Scripture over and over again. You remember that just before his arrest and crucifixion, Jesus was asked some trick questions by the leaders of Israel. And then he turned the tables on them and he asked them a question. What do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he? They thought it was an easy question, answering, the son of David. Jesus then said, how is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The scripture calls Christ the Messiah both God and King. That was emphasized in those interactions that Jesus had and throughout all of the scripture. This passage that Jesus uses from Psalm 110 is the most quoted Old Testament passage in the New Testament scripture. It's referred to 27 different times. It is because it is about the divine King who has been installed at the right hand of God in heaven, who is presently engaged in extending his spiritual rule throughout the whole of the earth. Jesus is seated at God's right hand. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at God's right hand. That means he is exalted as Lord, because at the right hand means he is at the highest place of authority, because he now has the highest power of the universe. He is Lord of all. He is given this authority by God. In Revelation chapter 4, it speaks there of all of the power of the universe given to Jesus. He is equal in power with the Father and with the Spirit. He is Lord. That means he is sovereign over all things. In the book of the Revelation, we see that as it's represented by the four living creatures. You'll remember those living creatures were sent to do something. What did they do? They went to carry out the will of God. Over every force, over every reality, God is sovereign and in complete control. We think that we control things. We think that we have control over our lives as well as over things on this earth. But God has control over all things, even over the things that we think we have changed. There isn't a single thing any one of us can do, except God gives us the ability to do it. He's in charge. He is the one with the power. And we need to recognize that truth. And we need to recognize that God is Lord of all, and it ought to put our mind at ease, knowing that those who assemble against the Lord, the intellectuals, the leaders, the philosophers, and all of the godless religions of the world, and those who follow such things, they want to stamp out the name of God. They won't be able to. They cannot, because God is in control. That ought to give you at least a certain amount of comfort when you turn on the news at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. Because when you look at the news at 5 or 6 o'clock, or whenever you turn it on, you see what's happening in this world, and you see all of the things that are going on in this world. And not only is it the intellectuals and the leaders and the philosophers, but it is everyone who in their godless heart are against the Lord. But God is still in control. He is still sovereign over all things. He controls all things and carries out his will. He does so through the power of those that he sends forth into this world. In the book of the Revelation, each of those beasts around the throne, remember them? They had six wings. It speaks of the fact that they speed to do the will of God. And they carry out God's will by going forth to carry out his purposes in this world. All of the threatening things that happen in this world, however they might seem to threaten the cause of God and truth, threaten the people of God, anything that happens, are really ultimately speeding to do the will of God. What the unsaved are really doing, although they don't know it, even though they think they will destroy Jesus, they're really working out step by step the plan of God, which will end in their own everlasting destruction and the glory of those that trust in Jesus and are saved, because God is carrying out his will. The world is simply seeing the evidence of God working out his plan. We may fear and tremble when we see things that happen in our world. We see the plots of those who seek to tear things down or reverse things or change things. But our hearts should rejoice in knowing God's still in control. Nothing happens except by the hand and the sovereign decree of God. And that's where we fit in. We fit in because God is in control. And as we confess that in the Apostles' Creed, that Jesus is at the right hand of God, we recognize that he is there at the right hand of God, sovereign over all things, and he rules over his church and this world. He rules over the people of God. He is the hope for the people of God. The government of the universe is in the hand of God. Why? Because Jesus reigns. Jesus is Lord, sovereign over the heavens, the whole world. He governs the church by his mighty power, and he is to be acknowledged by all. Jesus Christ is the one who is sovereign Lord of all. And what we see in that confession, and as we see it in Scripture, he is manifesting the glory which he had with the Father before the foundation of the world. That was concealed during his time of humiliation, but now his lordship and his sovereignty is declared, and it is written in Scripture. Remember in the book of Revelation that God has a scroll that is written down. And in that scroll, as you read through that passage, it refers to the whole history of heaven and earth. And what the book of Revelation teaches us in that is that God has precisely planned, he directs, and he decrees from eternity all things. And what God has written will happen. Why? Because God is in control. The scripture is written by the God who sent Jesus to die for our sins. And that book is sealed. It shows the certainty of its fulfillment, because what God has ordained will come to pass. I think we need to remind ourselves of that many times over, especially as we see what's happening in our world. We see people turning from God and away from God. And we grieve when we see that. We grieve when we see the masses of people that are marching for certain things that God has declared to be sinful. They call it good. But in all of those things, when we see it, don't give up, but remind yourself that God is in control. He has ordained all that will come to pass. And when we experience anxiety in our lives and in our experiences, we need to remind ourselves at that moment that God, who saves us by grace, has declared all things. He has planned all things. He has a purpose for all things. And as a result, there is nothing for us to fear. Nothing can happen to you or to me or to anyone that knows Jesus Christ that God hasn't already planned and purposed and written down. When you trust Jesus as your Savior, you know that all that which God has written down in Scripture is for your benefit and for your blessing. Only one person worthy in heaven and earth to open the scroll with writing, that one is Jesus. And he is worthy, and of him, the scripture says, he puts all things into operation, and he carries out the purpose, the plan, and those things which God has ordained from all eternity. God has written this book from eternity, given it to us so that we may know that it is for the well-being of his people and for the good of his people. He has sealed the orders of the universe with an expression of the grace and the mercy of God for his people, so that you may know as a child of God that God is working out the final blessedness, the eternal salvation of all of his people. That's why Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. He's the only one worthy to open the book, to unfold its history, and to declare what God has ordained from the beginning. Jesus the Savior, who purchased men for God, he is in control. He came to save sinners, and he incorporates us into himself by the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives us the robe of his perfect righteousness. He brings us to himself. If you're in Jesus, you know that he is the one that's in control. If you're in despair, you know you can trust him. You can call out to him. You can cry out to him. And you know, on the basis of the scripture, that the one who's seated at the right hand of God will hear you from his holy hill, and he will answer your prayers, your cries, and your fears. He is continuously present with his church through the power of the Holy Spirit. He leads the church through the Holy Spirit. What is Jesus doing? He is with his church in all things, blessing his church and his world, carrying out the perfect will of God. How is he doing that? Well, he is sending forth faithful pastors and teachers. He is calling his people to salvation. How? Through the power of the word that is preached and the Holy Spirit. He is building the church. He is governing the church. He is protecting the church. Why? Because he is Lord. We don't have to wait for him to become Lord. We don't make him Lord. He is Lord. That's the message that the scripture teaches, that we confess when we say that Jesus is ascended at the right hand of God the Father. He rules over all things. He reigns now, and he will reign until that moment when he comes again in glory. And what must we do in that time? Submit in humble obedience to his word and praise him for his goodness and for his grace. Remind yourself that you belong to the Lord. There's a great hymn that we sing many times. I am His and He is mine. You remember that hymn? You belong to Him. You are His and He is yours. You can pour out your great love in recognition of your personal relationship with Him. You can know that His throne holds sway over you for this life and for the life to come. He is the King who is to be honored even now, confessed, obeyed, and worshiped, because He is Lord. He is Lord alone. What is it that you think of when you think of the Christ? Do you think through the words of the Apostles' Creed, where it speaks of Him being ascended at the right hand of God the Father, gloriously ascended as King and Lord? Do you confess Him as your Lord and as your Savior? Do you worship Him with all that you are and all that you have? Have you submitted your life to Him, your family, your work, your relationships, your goals, and all that you are? Have you submitted to the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ? This heavenly Lord sends His blessing of gifts to His church, and He does so through the power of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of power and grace are given by King Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? He opens our hearts and our minds to that gift of new life and regeneration. We become members of Christ. From His heavenly throne, Jesus now governs us and protects His people. And just as Jesus had His enemies, so does the church. But He defends us from our enemies, and He keeps us safe. He is our royal King. He guards His children. He does not promise us a bed of roses, but He promises us that He will be with us to the end. And because He is with us to the end, we know that even though everything might not go my way now, we go through persecution, we have sorrow, sadness, sickness, even death. We know that even in all of these things, Jesus is still King and glorious over all. But we also know that He is the King who is coming again. He is the King who is coming again to reveal Himself as the judge of the living and the dead, the head of the church, the Lord and sovereign over all things. We should look forward to that return with great confidence, because this world is temporary. Persecution and suffering is temporary, but the King is coming. The one who shouldered my curse, who died in my place, the one who clothes me with everlasting righteousness, He will come for me, the believer says, and He will crush His enemies. There will be a day in which all His enemies will finally be defeated, and there will be the glory of His presence for all eternity. The King is coming. He is coming to bring me home. Remind yourself of that in the midst of the sufferings of this world. Remind yourself that nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord, the one who will bring an end to all suffering and death and bring us into that everlasting joy in the presence of the Lord of glory, the King of Kings. So, what do you think of the Christ? Are you reminded, as you think of Him, that He is indeed the heavenly King and the Lord of all? He is Lord. There is no greater. There is none other. Jesus is Lord of all. May we honor and glorify our King, and may we praise Him forever. Amen.